Hi, welcome to Agile Self-Development, the podcast that gives you a roadmap for personal growth and self-improvement for your body, mind, and spirit. Hi, I'm Helene Coppell, and together we'll take this journey to becoming our best self, one version at a time.
Have you found yourself feeling exhausted? Exhausted to the point of overwhelm, depression, anxiety? Guess what? You're not alone. Business and life coach Joey Drolshagen is back with us, and he's going to share how exhaustion is leading to a skyrocketing number of people going through depression, and he's also going to share ways that we can avoid that pitfall. Joey Drolshagen is a master mindset coach, author and professional speaker, and founder of the Subconscious Mindset Training Method. Named one of the top coaches in America for three consecutive years in the NYC Journal and Disruptors Magazine, Joey's known for helping countless people transform their lives by retraining their subconscious conditioning. He's been seen on Fox, NBC, CBS, and spent several decades traveling the country, helping people move past obstacles to overcome adversity and create a life that they absolutely love. And now, on with the interview. Joey, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's always great to have conversations with you. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, well, I need to talk about exhaustion. So when you suggested that be the topic, I thought it was perfect because at that very moment, that's exactly how I was feeling. And it's not just physical, it's mental, it's emotional. I just made up a new word. Tell me what you've been seeing out there.
Sure. I feel emotional just being here with you.
I bet you say that to all the girls.
Yeah, I've been, you know, COVID hit, right? And there was just this huge rise in fear, doubt, worry, frustration, fatigue, unknown, you know, uncertainty, all of that and everything else. And now as we're kind of swaying away from that, I'm going to say, you know, even though it's not complete, but we're kind of moving beyond that, let's say it that way, that yes, that exhaustion, and I see it in all businesses, I see it in people's personal lives, I see it in, you know, and there's a good way to handle exhaustion, and then there's ways that can just build it and build it and build it where it starts affecting our health and well-being.
And it's so much more than the physical for me, although it affects the physical.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That emotional exhaustion of going through COVID and those changes for me, I was unemployed for the first time in like 25 years,
yeah.
You know, with COVID, what that does to you. And then the job search. And then, you know, when you go on the job search, then you're dealing with rejections because you're not going to get every job. And that comes into play. So what do you do? How do you avoid that?
Well, so here's, so, you know, it's really what I found is kind of breaking it down a little bit, Helene, is, you know, we're trying to do something, right? We're recovering from COVID. We're trying to get our business back. We're doing whatever we're trying to do. We're trying to achieve it, right? And it's not working out at the speed or the pace that we want to. So what do we typically do?
We either abandon ship or...
Most people don't work harder.
Yeah.
Right? They put in more hours. They take more efforts. They push themselves harder and harder and harder. You know, we have a relationship that's not working out. It's the same way. We have finances that aren't working out. We can exhaust our... And what's really not funny, ha-ha funny, but... True, I guess, in a funny way, is we can exhaust ourselves sitting on the couch just based on our thinking. I have talked to so many people who are just living every day just to the total limit of exhaustion, and they're not working, and they're not, you know, going out and doing things, and they're not running all over, they're not traveling, they're not doing the things they want to do, and they just wake up, get through the day somehow, so they can get home and go to bed exhausted through that whole process.
I definitely have my moments. I know I could get exhausted going through Grubhub trying to find something to eat.
Exactly. So we put in more effort trying to do what we want to do. That's one of the leading causes for exhaustion. Or we get stuck in up here in our head in what I call the Antichrist. We get stuck up here with that voice and we get stuck just exhausting a negative thought or a potential problem or a fear, a stress, you know, a stress, whatever it is. And we just get into the muck of it with the thinking, and it just pulls any energy or any vitality, any enthusiasm for life. It just drains us of it. And coming out of COVID, so many people are living that way. And they're not even, honestly, they don't even recognize that they're living that way. They'll blame it on weather, or they'll blame it on the economy, or they'll blame it on, you know, somebody, something that happened with some, or they'll have all these things they pin it on. But it's really, you know, Wallace has a quote that I just absolutely love. And he says, if you are not consciously choosing to be rich, excellent, and healthy, then you are unconsciously choosing to be poor, mediocre, and unhealthy. And so many people don't even recognize. I know for me, for decades in my life, I didn't even know I had a choice. I just took me down that avenue of where my thoughts led me. And that was what dictated my life. And, you know, according to Michael Singer in his book, Untethered Soul, he talks about the purpose of our mind is to help us solve complex problems, right? So you get a mathematical problem. You're trying to figure out all the finances coming in your way and everything else. And you're trying to add it all up. And it's big, big numbers. So you pull out a calculator, and your mind is what drives that process to pull out the calculator, pushing the numbers and everything else to come to that solution. You know, you're fixing an electrical problem, plumbing problem, changing the headlight on my truck. I had to watch new YouTube videos to learn how to do it. It's crazy. You got to take the inside of the fender off and stuff like that. But so I'm have those things that happen. And that's the purpose of our mind. But what happens through the subconscious is that's the voice that we hear through our conditioning, our patterns, paradigms, and our conditioning. And that's the voice we hear in our head. And what happens to so many people is that conditioning leads them. And people, we can literally be exhausted without ever moving a muscle just based on the thoughts.
You know what? And on, let's flip that around, because I can think, you talked about problem solving. And I just, in my workday, was talking about, almost joking, how I have been told I live my life like I'm on a game show. And I love problem solving. I love, like, when I get the answer, especially when it's a complex problem, I want to applaud. I want to applaud, like, you know, the numbers just went up on the board for me, right? Yes. And that is invigorating. It's not exhausting when I get to solve the problem. But we talked before we started recording about dealing with my family and my father's passing and having to figure out how this family is going to work, how my mother's finances are going to work. And that was a problem that was not fun solving. And I was emotionally, mentally exhausted.
Well, and you're grieving and you're like, all that stuff is happening at the same time. I mean, there's times in our life when we're going to be exhausted. You know, I had a relationship end back in October, November, or whatever. It was a few year relationship and stuff like that. I spent some time feeling exhausted where, you know, you lose somebody in our family. It's effort, a lot of effort just to get out of bed in the morning.
Right.
You know, it's effort to go through our days. And of course, we're going to have those things. That's part of that emotional grieving and that healing process and the letting go, all of that stuff. So we're going to have those. But so many people are living like that without having those things happening just in their everyday life. They're just exhausted. And like you said, emotionally, physically, mentally, you know, they're just living this exhaustive state. People I talk to, that one of the biggest emotional struggles I see people having is finances. And people, and it both sides, really. It's the people who feel they need more money, or they, you know, they need more than what they have right now in order to survive and move forward and things like that and stuff. But then there's the other side, the people who have achieved that, who then worry every single day about losing it.
Right. Right. Worry about not getting it or losing what you have.
Yeah. And so it's not just for any certain class. It's across the board. And what it is, at the core of it, and that's why I said it's important to talk about this, at the core of it, it's our thinking causing so much of our exhaustion. The other side of it, with right along with that, is it's like I think I told you this before, is the reality of our life is make-believe, because the reality of our life is based on our perceptions.
Right, right. They say perception is reality, right?
At any time we can shift our perception, and we shift our entire future. The downside of that, though, is nobody can do it for us. We have to be a willing participant in that.
Right. Well, let me give you a little bit of my psychology, my issues. We'll have you coach me on this, but I'll tell you what, you know, we talked about earlier that, you know, this kind of exhaustion can lead to depression. It also can lead to anxiety, right? Yeah. So for me, when my dad, it's the weirdest thing, but I was able to connect my dad's passing with deep, deep insecurity that I'm now the matriarch of this family. I'm now the head of the family in terms of people looking to me for answers. Dad was that guy, and now they look to me for that answer. And the fear that I'm not doing it right, and the fear came from because it was not easy, and people were not doing exactly what I wanted them to do to make it easier for me. They weren't worrying about my grieving, only their grieving, and Helene's going to fix everything, but I'm failing because I'm exhausted and...
Can I interrupt you to ask you a question?
Yeah.
I want you to really think about this before you answer, because this is what happens a lot of time. How much of it was that you were actually failing versus you were afraid that you were going to fail? And you, we talked yeah, before we went on.
Air.
You
told me, I don't want to lose dead air. But I am thinking about it.
Yeah, because that's what happens to a lot of people.
Yeah. Go on. I think I wasn't truly failing. I was just not getting the team on board.
You understand what you're saying there, but most people when they get into that position, it's not that they're failing, it's that their head keeps telling them they're going to fail. So even going into it and having any successes at all. See, if we as a nation just started celebrating our successes, not in the ego way where you rip other people off to do better yourself, but if we truly start celebrating ours and other people's successes, man, we would change things around. I've helped organizations with 350 employees go from bankruptcy back into profitability. And the way we turned that corner was quit looking at all the crap that's wrong and started looking at what was going right. What you know that phrase, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right?
Yes.
And if I asked you what that meant, you'd say wherever there's problems, that's where the grease goes, the squeak, right?
Right. Those who make the biggest noise are going to get the
and
attention.
Perceptions, I've shifted that around. The successes are the squeaky wheel now. Those are what get the
I
grease.
Agree. I agree
that's
with that.
The attention. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't speak up, no one's going to hear you. You've got to create the need for those others to help you. You've got to create a voice. You have to be heard.
Yeah. And ultimately bringing all of this kind of forward from where we're at right now, because we kind of hit on a few things, is that quote by Wallace Wattles. If I want to live the life I want to live, if I want to have a choice in the design of my life, if I want to bring about the things I want to bring about, I have to consciously freaking choose which thoughts I'm going to pay attention to and which ones I'm going to discard. And then once I'm willing to do that, the avenues on how I make that shift are pretty simple. And there's a lot of them out there, but it's pretty simple as far as making those shifts. It's just, I gotta at some point say, I'm taking ownership of which thoughts I entertain. I'm taking ownership of what words I'm going to use out of my mouth and how I'm going to respond. You know, when you and I were talking and I said something complimentary to you and you know, you received that. But then another time, you know, you said something, you kind of explained it away to something else. If we just receive compliments, if we just learn to go, thank you.
I know, just say thank you. And I say that to other people, just say thank you.
And here's one of the other outcomes of it. So somebody that's working 40 hours a week in a job they can't stand, they come home, they get up exhausted, they go to work, they somehow get themselves to work and they're exhausted. They go through the day, they're exhausted. They come home and they're exhausted. And I watched my dad do that for, God, the first 20 years of my life. And just he was doing work he couldn't stand, but he did it and he'd work as much overtime as he could. And he was just exhausted. His whole thing was he'd come home, eat dinner, go sit downstairs in front of the TV. And that's where he existed. And sometimes he'd even sleep down there and he'd get up the next day and do it all over. And he did it over and over and over again. And we live like that. And when I was in corporate America, even as a vice president and things like that, I couldn't stand what I did, but I was good at it. So I confused that for years, you know, thinking it's where I was supposed
right.
to be. And I was for some reason. But if I had to work 2 days in a row past 5 p.m., I was pissed and I was upset and I was tired and I'd go home and I'd sit on the couch and it'd pour me and I'd eat crappy food and I'd, you know, do all this stuff. Every one of those things I just listed adds to the exhaustion, right?
Yeah.
We eat crappy, we feel more tired. We you know, lounge on the TV all night long, we're going to feel more tired rather than, and so those things happen. Right. Today, I can work
momentum
all day
works more. Both ways.
How do you
right?
mean?
Momentum works in both directions,
absolutely.
Right? When
yeah.
you're on a roll. You can be on a roll doing great healthy things, or you can be on a roll on the couch every night.
When I started shifting my perceptions and I could see this is dragging me down, I don't want to do this anymore, but I'm so passionate about helping people live better lives. I'm so passionate to help people shift that conditioning and find those blocks and use those as a launching pad to take off in their life. I can work all day and do all my stuff during the day, my coaching calls and interview and things like that. And in the evening, I can start recording in my room next to me is a recording studio. I can start recording at 9 o'clock at night and go till 3 in the morning. And do you know I cannot sleep because I'm so excited? And so I'll eventually get a few hours of sleep and I'll get up and do the whole thing again. And I'm supercharged to do it without drinking coffee.
I'm the opposite. I'm going to pass out. I'm going to pass out by 9 o'clock, but I'm up at 5 o'clock raring to go. I do have that energy. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
When you have to make a change. By the way, for those who count the points of how are you relating this to Agile, you pointed to the pivot, right? Some life is not working for me the way I've been operating. It's time to try a change. And it's not, you know, let's bring it back to, it's not an overnight process that we change. So can I lead you towards that direction of how do we make a start? Maybe you want to talk about your about the SMT program a little bit.
Yeah, SMT method, absolutely. And one of the things I will say about what you just said, Helene, is it's not an overnight process, but it can be much quicker than what we've ever thought it could be. I have clients that what took me years to achieve in my life are achieving in weeks. So it can be where it has impact, immediate, you know, quick impact to it. And life-changing factors to it and stuff. And the SMT method is subconscious mindset training. And I think I told you I was just on the marquee in Times Square in New York City and stuff like that being recognized. I'm, you know, again, in 2023, I'm recognized as the top 30 coaches in the United States and stuff for the works I've done and stuff. So it's getting some, and I don't say that for me. I say that because it's just so powerful and has such huge impact. It really is the reason that allows me to offer any clients I do work with 100% money back guarantee.
I saw that. And you're not even in New York, right? When I saw, I think you were in the New Yorker too, or was it the cover of a magazine?
Yeah. New Yorker. Yeah.
Wait, where are you? Michigan?
I'm in South Carolina up in the mountains now.
I'm from Michigan. South Carolina. Oh, okay. I was like, that accent is Michigan.
I'm trying to sway it some. But yeah, so the SMT method is subconscious mindset training. So we have the conscious mind, and we kind of spoke about that. We have control over our conscious mind. We have control over the thoughts that we entertain and the ones we pass on. Even if we don't know how, there's avenues to shift those. And we have thoughts over the words we use and everything else. And one of the things I'll say in my workshop to people is, how many of you would ever speak to another person the way you talk to yourself?
Right. That's a popular question. And never, I would never talk to another human being like I have talked to myself in the worst of times.
Yeah, exactly. And people will laugh and things like that. And I get the humor, but it's so damaging to our self-esteem, our you know, fatigue level, our abilities, our capabilities and all that. So there's the first part, okay, is the conscious mind. And then we have a subconscious mind. We don't have control over the subconscious mind. All it does is absorbs whatever the conscious mind is focused on, the words we use, the thoughts we entertain, people we hang out with, what we read. And that's one of the things is I can tell somebody within 3 minutes whether there's somebody who watches, you know, CNN constant negative news throughout their day, the entire day, because that's how we live. We're patterned after that. We really are who our friends are. You know, we become who we hang out with and things like that. So the subconscious mind absorbs all of that, right? But then within the subconscious mind, there's what I call a motherboard that has all of our past conditioning, all the things we have grown up. You know, I was telling you a couple of examples earlier of like when I was 8 years old and I was told I was so lazy, I stunk, you know, and I went through my high school years showering 2 and 3 times a day because I really thought I stunk. And then I would, even when I got in my 20s, I would work full time, and I had a 1 or 2 businesses, and I would go back to school, and I'd get my pilot's license, and I would build houses, I would do all this stuff all at the same time, trying to overcome that laziness. But that laziness is never who I was. But it's in the conditioning; it plays through in our thinking and everything else. But also within the subconscious is what triggers the brain waves to the actions we do or do not take. So somebody that has conditioning of fear, doubt, and worry will not take the steps that would break through that for them. I'm really big on stepping through my fears, whether it was stepping on stage and speaking in front of those people. I was just telling you earlier, last October, I took my first run off a 2,000-foot mountaintop with just me and the hang glider because I was afraid of heights. And then I did six more of those same flights. When we understand that conditioning, when we understand it in there, then we can start identifying it and shifting it to start opening up doorways. So we're really rewiring our brain waves.
Right.
To pick different actions that we take, which lead to the results that we want. So often I'll talk to people and I'll go, well, if you know that's not somebody who wants to lose weight, for instance, right? They'll lose some weight. We'll see them. They're looking great and everything else. And then we go out to lunch with them and they eat a big piece of chocolate cake after that. Why are you doing that? That's not what you want, but why are you doing that? And it's that conditioning driving that action. So what I help people do is quickly identify what that is. And this is all within the SMT method and then shift and change that. So we're rewiring the brain waves. So when they see that piece of cake, they see a poison sign on that piece of cake because that's not what they want.
So it's a paradigm shift.
A complete paradigm shift, pattern shift, and even our habits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of, you know, but we have some things we talked about earlier that are just so ingrained on our brains that we almost don't even know it or see it. It's just, it's there. You know, self-awareness, and maybe ask that question, how much does self-awareness need to come into play for that?
It's huge. Anybody I work with, the two things I require. So because I offer money back guarantee, things like that, I really qualify the people that I talk to who I work with. Because we all know there's people who want to complain and have ears to listen to them and everything else, but they're not going to do anything different.
Right.
Right. So the two things I require is first and foremost, a beginner mindset. I've learned in my life for me to grow, it doesn't matter nada what I know. It matters what I can add to what I know. That's where growth comes from. So I always talk to people about that beginner mindset, staying in a state. We all know a lot of things, but staying in the state with what can you add to what you already know and listen for that. That's number one. And number two is an open mind as far as being willing to have that awareness. What I call that notice what you're noticing.
Have you had to tell people, you know what I see that I don't hear you mentioning? Like I have... You know, I'm not a professional coach, but I've definitely spoken with people and advise. I mentor some people, but I've first of all, the friends who come to me, I've learned to ask the question, do you need to vent or do you need advice?
Great. That's a great question. Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you give advice to someone who just wants to vent, you're going to screw up a friendship.
Well, absolutely. Or conversation even. It could be a stranger, but yeah, you're going to. And I learned that early on when I first started learning these tools and they started impacting my life and then I'd get a couple clients and they started impacting. I wanted to give it to everybody. So I'd come across people in the coffee shop and they'd be like kind of looking like this. I go, you look kind of down. Can I help you with that? And they'd be like, who the hell are you? You know, and so I had to learn that avenue you're talking about kind of the hard way a little bit. But yeah. And oh, absolutely. You know what? I point out a lot to my clients, and it's the reason why I have a coach in my life, because they say best coaches have coaches. But it's not really because they say that, but it's because he'll help me see things that I don't see. He'll help me see things in my actions and my thoughts and things like that I don't see. And it's like, wait, yeah, why am I still doing that? Like that's been, you know, that's done. That's, you know, and it's the same thing with my clients. It's like, okay, you want this. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, we want this, but all of our actions are leading in another direction. And so it's bringing that alignment to that. And when we start showing people that, and I have tools and things, I want to share one with your audience, but I have tools that help people quickly start becoming aware and identifying that and putting replacement thoughts in their place, that once we understand that and we can start doing that, that's why I said change can come so quickly now compared to what it took me as I was figuring out this whole process over three decades. Is because you identify it, you have the open mindset first off to come into it. You identify it, and then you have tools, you have things right there with you to help you shift that to get back into it. And the good thing about with anyone I work with is they also have somebody right there at their side as they go through that journey in that process that they can call on and rely on. I only work with 10 clients at a time, and the reason I do that is because when I'm working with somebody, I want them to have access to me, not just on that little slot of time when we have a one-on-one session. I want them to have it throughout the week and things like that. So if they run into something, they don't have to wait a week or 5 days or 3 days even to do it. We can handle it right then and get them moving forward.
let's say we got people listening who can't afford Dr. Joey. I know you're not a doctor, but who can't afford Coach Joey.
I like that. That sounded good. Maybe I should go back to school. Go ahead.
Go for it. You could probably buy one online these days. do you have some tips for how we can start getting ourselves out of this funk?
Yes.
If we're in that exhausted state and we find ourselves in these patterns of sitting on the couch, getting deeper and deeper into that overwhelming feeling, how can we start tapping into what's going on with the subconscious?
So first off, the things that are happening, keeping us on that couch, the intention of those things coming up in thought is not to run our life. Our mind was meant for solving complex problems. So it wasn't meant to run our life. So if we understand the only purpose in it is to help us go, this is miserable. I'm discontent. I don't like this. That thought is to help us go, what is it I do want instead? And this is where it'll check some open-mindedness of people, of your listeners and things like that. Because one of the things you can do is grab a pad of paper and a pen and start writing out what you would like life to be like. What's your greatest imagination of what life could be like if there were no limits at all? That would be a really quick method of coming up with, because what happens is when we get into that down place, that exhausted place, everything that happens pulls us deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And we talked about anxiety and depression and things like that, you know, and it can go further down than that. We all know, sorry to say that, but suicide and things like that, where it can lead to, you know, right. So that everything that's happening in there will pull us deeper and deeper and deeper. So what we have to do is we have to interject something different. When you start looking at what you would love, you can look at one small area of your life for, you know, your house, your car, your finances, your someplace you'd like to travel, whatever it is, and interrupt that thought with something that you would absolutely love. And the reason I say write it is because in order for things to start really happening on our subconscious, we need to take action into it. So sitting there and just getting the thoughts pondering is going to lead back to the O. If you grab a pad of paper and pen, you're putting some activity into it, which absorbs into the subconscious even quicker and more powerfully.
This is where I was going to go back. If you, those listening, go back to one of my original episodes, and on the Agile Self-Development website, I have a guide on how to create a personal vision statement. And I'm not a vision board person. To me, it's an arts and crafts project that doesn't put my head in it. It's nice that you put it on the fridge, but I needed to write the statement, and that statement becomes your North Star. Right. Yes. So if you're wallowing in what's wrong versus maybe focusing and meditating on that vision,
yes,
to start to have it, I don't want to use the word burn. I do burn it into your brain, because I used the expression before, which I said you are welcome to borrow, that things have become tattooed on my brain that were not healthy and I need to have a tattoo removal. You know, but I do, you know, when I've talked about here before that when I was dealing with my dad's death and all the anger around the family issues that resulted from his death, or, you know, preceded his death, it was, I went for this, you know, spiritual journey, mushroom trip. And the guy who's guiding us is telling me that I'm not letting the medicine work because I wasn't doing exactly what he told me to do. And that's when the tears started. I went, I can't even trip right.
Yeah.
But it went from I can't even trip right to I miss my dad. Like, they were connected. My insecurity and lack of confidence was connected to my dad's death. And, you know, from a psychological point of view, I can go, you know, my dad was my biggest supporter and he's gone.
Yeah. And I said that earlier, and I want to say that again, because it's really important. You know, whether if you have a loss, if you have ending a relationship, if you moved out of a position that you thought was going to be a lifelong career, like, we have those things happen. Those are interruptions to our normal process. Those things take a little bit of time, and they warrant giving a little bit of time to go through. I want to call it the grieving process, although, you know, I was born and, you know, raised in more of a John Wayne kind of a man is and stuff like that.
Get over it and man up.
Kind of, yeah. But there is that part. It does deserve some extra time in that and processing through those things, because otherwise we don't get to that other side of it, of finding the gift in it. But like everything that happens to us, there's a gift in, there's gold nuggets in it. And really my life search has become looking for those. So you talked about that with the vision like that. Every client, and I mean, whether I'm working with an individual, a business owner, a corporation, I start with what I call developing a dynamic vision for their life. And in doing that, I have a roadmapping tool, and I can give a link if you want to put it into the show notes here, or people can go out and get a video of a portion of, you know, of overall, like a little higher level than what I go to with my clients, but of what that dynamic vision roadmap to do with that. So maybe between those two areas, people can get an idea of how to do this vision.
Yes. And by the way, roadmap, another agile term. You brought it right back into my theme. Roadmapping is a huge tool for product managers, and it tells us how are we going to get there without high level of detail. You have a general roadmap of how are you going to achieve that vision.
Now, the dynamic vision roadmap I take clients through is very detailed to bring them through that vision. But even listening to a video and then watching one you have on your site, I think that would give people a great start into it. Because once they get the vision, I talked about writing it out. Whenever you're having those thoughts, put that vision on. Figure out an action you can take into that vision to start bringing it to fruition. And there is always, always, always some action you can take from where you are with what you have that will lead you more into that vision. Yes. And all you got to do is ask yourself, if it wasn't impossible, what could I do?
I want to do a yes and. You know, I'm from that improv world. Yes and.
Yes.
When you are taking actions and making decisions, ask yourself, is this in alignment with that vision of my future?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so really bringing this whole thing full circle, I think we just did that because people are living in exhaustion. If we become more aware of that, if we have an open mindset and we become more aware of the fact that we're choosing to live that way, it's not that we have to. It's not our lot in life. It's not that we're a victim of the economy. It's not any of that. It's that we're choosing to live in that exhaustion. Then I have to take ownership to say, what am I going to do about it? And those are the tools we're talking about giving people that will help. I don't know if going through the vision thing and you know, with mine and yours combined, even if that'll completely change, but it'll start shifting that. And then as we shift it and we get more into that route where we want to be, things start showing up. Because when we're in exhaustion state, we're still having things show up as ideas and creativity and things like that we could be doing, but we just don't see them because we're so bogged down in that exhaustion.
Right. The mind is clouded from everything that's exhausted us. We can't see through the clouds.
So once we start loosening that up, we open up from that other side to start seeing things showing up. And I'm telling you, every single client I've had, almost 1,000 clients in the past decade, every one of them have had things happen like that, where it's like, I cannot believe. In fact, I call God out of the blue, because I'll be talking to them and I'll go, so how'd that happen? They go, I don't know. It came out of the blue. And it's those things we're talking about that just show up that we can't make happen, but we're going about life in a level where we allow ourselves to see and receive those things. Make sense?
Okay. Yes. Now, remember, I have my speed round, but before we get to the speed round.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about it.
Can you share your gift? You mentioned you have a gift for the audience.
I do. So if this resonates with anybody, first off, if this resonates with anybody, share this with somebody. Share this episode with one or multiple people. And the reason I say that is part of the thing that happens when we get into that limitation side of life or the exhaustion is we start shutting down. And what we do is we start kind of pulling back and pulling within. And as we do that, that exaggerates more and more very quickly, and it'll drive even more exhaustion, fatigue, and all that stuff. So if we were to step outside of ourselves and share this, what you're doing is opening up the flow in your own life for things like that to happen. It's kind of like the old wood stoves, is you had to put wood in it before you could get heat out of it. This is the same way. So if this marks, you know, sparks you at all in any way, share this with somebody, share this episode with somebody, let them know all the great works that Hilly is doing and share this with them. So that's one thing. And then as a gift, if this, any of this resonated with you, and when I say resonate, I don't mean you agree with me and you bought it. If you think this is total bullshit, I'd still love to hear from you. And so I've set up an avenue to do that where I'm offering a 30-minute consultation coaching session where we'll get to know each other a little bit, but then we'll get into exactly what is, where you at and what's, where you're at right now. And I'll help you identify what's causing that and get you some power tools on top of the vision we talked about that you can start shifting that and get back into your energy, get back into your vitality, get back into making sure that you're taking responsibility for the, you know, your best life being in the years ahead of you.
Yep.
And you can do that. Anybody can schedule that at coachwithjoseph.com. It's all one word, coachwithjoseph.com.
And we're going to have all the links in the show notes for you as well. You ready for your speed round?
I am.
You tried to remember the last one. What did I have to do?
I am trying to, and it's gone. It's gone.
All right. Quick. Random questions for you. What has been your favorite age so far?
My present age.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
It is. It really is. And if you asked me last year, I think last year at that time would have been. It's like life just keeps evolving and keeps getting more exciting. Yeah.
What is your go-to lazy dinner?
It'd have to be hard shell tacos with grilled chicken. Sometimes a little sour cream, sometimes not.
What movie genre would be the story of your life? Horror, comedy, or drama?
Comedy. Definitely comedy.
I'm thinking I'm a dramedy.
Are you? I'm much more into comedy.
I'm a dramedy. Rom-com. I'm hoping it'll be a rom-com by the end.
Oh, I like that.
Because there's always a happy ending in a rom-com.
I like that.
What is one of your nicknames in Joey Doesn't Count?
Dang it. You probably can't count dad. Coach.
What'd you say, dad?
Well, I was gonna say dad, but that probably wouldn't count either. So coach. My son now calls coach. Me coach.
Nice. What is the stupidest dare you ever agreed to?
God, it'd have to be when I was in junior high eating a live bug.
Oh, yep. I don't know what other dare you ever been through. But that sounds like a good one. I think mine was probably a phony phone call that went awry back in the day when they didn't have a caller ID.
I used to do that. I actually called our scoutmaster back in the middle of 11 o'clock at night, which was late. And I go, hey, you just won $100 on some radio CKLW. And he goes, oh, did I, Joey Drolshagen?
Don't you love when that happens?
Not really.
And then you hang up because you can't figure out what to do after that.
And then I'm on to skip scalps after that.
Right. Well, Joey, this has been fun as always. And now what I'd like to do at the end of the interviews is ask, is there anything you didn't get to say that you wanted to?
Really? Thank you. This is so awesome. Like, I love having our conversations and they're too far gapped, for my liking, but this is awesome. And really, if you're not like getting up out of bed in the morning and excited about your day ahead, if you're spending too much time in fatigue or even doing things like overeating or drinking or gambling or doing things like that, that you really don't want to do, but they feel like their coping mechanism, I just want to really lean into you and say, you don't have to live that way. There's other options. Take me up on a half hour call. I'm not telling you have to coach with me. There's no obligation or anything, but it will open doorways for you to find the path that does work for you. You don't have to live like that, and taking ownership of your conscious mind will change your entire existence.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to yes and that. I'm going to put a period at the end of that statement. Exclamation point.
You're awesome. You're amazing. I love our conversation.
There's my new ringtone. You're awesome. You're amazing. I love our conversations. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. Gosh darn it.
People like you.
Stuart Smalley might have been canceled. But anyway, I'm going to hit the stop button. Thank you, Joey.
God bless everyone. Thank you. This is awesome.
Thank you for joining me. Visit agileselfdevelopment.com and subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. And if you enjoyed the podcast, I'd love it if you'd leave a review in Apple Podcasts. It makes a big difference in how the podcasts are ranked. Thank you again for joining me, Helene Coppell, for this episode of Agile Self-Development. Become your best self, one version at a time. Catch you soon.